This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack. This is a live watch podcast with me. My name is Drew, and I am joined, of course, by my longtime friend, but no time wrestling fan, Jordan Darby.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So this is our first episode not watching matches together in person. It's a little bit different, and we have not done a show together in quite some time. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say I've missed all this wrestling stuff, but
well, you have.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know you have.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
But no, I do look forward to our time together dissecting this strange and wonderful, grotesque freak show that you love.
Yeah, and that's not even talking about wrestling.
I was going to say, hey, you leave my family out of this.
So before we start the matches tonight, now I should say this is a potpourri episode, so we're going to be breaking from our usual format, and we've done a couple of these shows in the past, but we're just going to watch a couple matches and just have a good old chat in between. The previous episode, Jordan, I made Isabel watch a match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
How did that go over?
Well, not good. She did not enjoy it as much as me. But that match did feature Terry Funk, and it also featured barbed wire, much like the match we're going to watch in just a minute here.
Hmm.
So there you go. Now, anyways, before we get to the matches tonight, we have a music review by Jordan Darby.
I thought we were more just going to talk about I don't know if I have a review prepared.
No, now just a quick informal discussion. Now, Jordan, what CD did I force you to listen to? Because I now have like four copies of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably own more copies than the band at this point.
Yes, certainly.
But it was the band World Burns to Death. And I honestly am not remembering the title of...
title's the best part of the whole thing.
It's something about sodomy.
Totalitarian sodomy.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Okay, so... I don't know if you really want me to go on this thing, because there's a lot of thoughts there.
Because Jack Control will come to your house and...
Yeah, and he looks pretty scary on the back cover of this album.
Because he's got face paint on.
Yeah, he has face paint. I will say, they really love what they're doing. They really put their heart into this thing.
That's like the most condescending, like backhanded compliment you could ever give.
They really put it in there.
Oh, and, dear.
And you know, there's a lot to do with... I don't know. There's a lot of talk about the anus in this thing.
A lot.
It's weird, dude.
Yeah. It's so let's put it out there. It's very sexual.
Yes. And we were originally going to record this podcast in closer proximity to when I was really trying to listen to this thing. So I can't remember, like, I had some examples in the lyrics, but
that's my fault.
No, that it's just, I'm happy to have forgotten. It was my pleasure to forget, but, yeah, just a lot of weird stuff about excrement and the anus and sodomy and I don't know.
Well, I think I told you, he would get like canceled now, right?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, and most songs are about like other, like, kind of like these, like, atrocities that other cultures have committed, which yeah. is, I mean, that's an atrocity is an atrocity, but it kind of does it from it's kind of this ethnocentric view that like America is not right, but like he is right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's like, that's kind of the most endearing part of it. That's what I'm saying. They put their whole thing into this band.
Yes.
They really do care. So, I mean, it's like they would be canceled, but they probably shouldn't be.
Right, because it's like, it like is like guys, good.
Guy, yeah, at the end of the day, what does the guy want? You know, like no war.
Yeah.
Right? Is that, that's what you say is the thesis here, is war is bad or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he takes a long, weird road to get there. And, you know, I couldn't even, like, I wasn't about to sit and read all the lyrics. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Dude, I have. It's really tough to get through.
Yeah, I'm like I said, cool on them, but that's kind of why Discharge works. It's like, the lyrics just punch you in the face and that's it. There's like three lines a song.
Yeah.
And they just jack you up and that's it.
He's writing like these full long paragraphs and they're so like over the top, melodramatic.
Yeah, it's coming at it from a different place that just no longer, it's very out of vogue, and I'm not trying to like, it just is. I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's from the profane existence, you know, universe.
Yeah.
That, you know, that whole thing. And it's just, that's, like I said, that's cool. That's your thing. But for this young Turk,
yeah.
I'm not quite there, but.
So musically, what did it sound like? And did it sound different than what you were expecting?
Yeah, it was pretty innocuous. I thought it might be gnarlier.
Yeah.
But
it's
wasn't.
It's like melodic and rockin'.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It was weird because, once again, they, you could tell they put a lot into it. Like, the production's really good.
I think the production kind of hurts it.
Yeah, I don't think it's right. But
it's,
like,
yeah, it's good, it's but it's
like full.
Yeah, but it, like,
that's
the,
what you're going for. Like,
there's something with the like they didn't quite have the budget to make it as big, like the production as big as it should have been. It's full and you can hear everything, but it's still at the end of the day like a punk recording. And I think they kind of wished they were on like Century Media or something, like a metal band.
Yeah, I mean, are we gonna hurt these people's feelings by talking about all this?
Okay, no one is gonna hear this from that group.
I just don't want to just be jacking them up. I'm not trying to just jack them up. But I these are just things. Hey, this is just things, thoughts from a poor mind.
Yeah.
The metallic element was off-putting to me because it was stuff that was more from like what I would consider like butt rock. When I want to hear metallic elements, I'm probably going to want to hear the more like harsh and brutal aspects of that genre. Mm-hmm. But this was more felt like stadium type elements. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know any of that stuff. I don't like any of that music. So it's hard for me to like, and it's not fair of me to criticize, but it just like kind of the weird solos and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have just stripped that out or just like pushed it further and been like just a metal band. It should have just been metal.
That's been my whole thing is I wish they would have just gone further and been a metal band, because like they've got the face paint on the back and I think the lyrics work better if it's a metal band doing it, like if it's a bunch of metal guys singing that stuff, then it's like, geez, this is gnarly. But if it's like crust punks doing it, it just, I don't know, it feels a little antiquated, if nothing else. But
yeah, so it's a foot in both worlds, but I think that's always a tricky proposition when you do that. And I don't know. And that's just, I don't know, it's a weird, it's a, when it came out in the aughts, right? 06.
Yeah.
And
weird time.
Weird time in general, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But the guys can play. And I mean, like I said, I mean, the production sounded like they spent time on it. They spent time on this thing. And that's always, and that's always nice to see, because you can't say that for a lot of stuff. The cover is probably the most like, again, I'm just undercutting the band here, but the cover has the most like artistic value.
Yes. And I don't want
to ever look at it again, but it's artistic. Whoever did it is well done.
Yeah. Would you say plus or minus 10 anti-Semitic?
Yeah, it's definitely double digits. I'd say double digits for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess that's being unfair. It's anti-Israel stuff.
Yeah.
But there's always that kind of undercurrent. So do you know who did the artwork for that?
You have told me it's somebody from Japan, I think.
Yeah, the Gizm guy, Sick Heavy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've shown me, I think, because you've shown me one of their records, because I don't know what they sound like, but you've shown me one of their records, and it's very similar aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it's someone, I mean, this person could have gone to the art school that I went to. It's, you know what I mean? It's like, it looks all crazy and crappy, but it's actually like pretty well done.
See that, that's what I think is cool about that guy is that, so he does a lot of that computer generated.
Like, yeah.
Ow, nothing. Cat just bit me. But everyone makes fun of it because they think it looks dumb.
Yeah.
But like you can, even I don't know from art, but you can tell that the guy has like skills and ability.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
Yeah, not anyone can do that, as stupid as that sounds. That's someone skilled with a skilled hand did that.
Yeah. I mean, it's
really deplorable, and I don't like to look at it, but
it takes a lot of work to Photoshop multiple Hillary Clinton faces on naked bodies.
Tell me about it.
I mean, that takes a lot of time. I mean, you know from experience.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I love the band name. Tell you that.
I know. Isn't that a shame?
That right now.
Yeah. The most interesting thing about this to me, and I get you don't listen to a lot of the Japanese stuff, so you probably didn't pick up on this, but it's an interpretation of it's an American band interpreting a Japanese style, which mm-hmm. in itself was an interpretation of like Poison Idea.
Right.
So it's kind of, do you remember, this is a stupid comparison, but do you remember that Backstroke of the West Star Wars thing where it was someone took like a Chinese bootleg version of like the second Star Wars movie or the four.
Yeah, and he's like, do not want.
Yeah, exactly. Revenge of the Sith, and translated it back into English.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit like that, which that makes the music infinitely more interesting.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it really sounds a lot like Poison Idea. Because it's got the kind of rockin' elements and stuff. But it's doing that trying to emulate the Japanese bands who were trying to emulate Poison Idea in the first place.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah, it's a good premise in a weird way.
Yeah. Okay, so that's... we just spent 20 minutes picking on poor Jack Control and his gang.
I mean no harm.
No, look, no disrespect here. No. We're just talking about something that was recorded 15 years ago. Anyways, speaking of recorded 15 years ago or 20 years ago or more at this point, almost 30 years ago, in fact, let's get to our first match of the night. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So again, really quick, I'm just going to reset the premise of the show. I'm a longtime wrestling fan. Jordan, you are not a wrestling fan, and we are going to watch a couple matches and just record your reactions to them. So the first match we are going to watch is Atsushi Onita versus Terry Funk. This is from the Memorial or the Anniversary Show 5/5/1993, May 5th, 1993. This is an exploding no rope, barbed wire, exploding ring, time bomb death match. And so we are starting this. The video we're watching is on YouTube. It's 29 minutes, 29 seconds. We're starting it from the very beginning. Are you ready, Jordan?
I'm ready.
I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, play. Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1, play. So we've got here Kawasaki Stadium, and they're doing the wave, brother.
They're going for sure.
For sure. And look at this. Look at this setup here. Awesome. Okay. And I can hear a little bit of the sound there. So that's good. Let's keep that going.
Do you want it to be like that?
Yeah. Keep that. Okay. So you see the match.
Yeah. There's or you see
the ring rather.
Yeah. And how real is that?
What do you mean?
Is that real?
Is what real?
Is it like real, like steel barbed wire?
Yes.
True.
No, it is. Yes. You'll see. Yeah,
this
that is real.
Like, catch the guy's eye or something.
It catches his private area, and it.
No, and just his world burns to death.
Takes it clean off.
Okay, I do recognize him.
Yeah, Terry we've Funk. Seen him before.
Yeah.
In the Stan Hansen match, remember?
Yeah, he's cool.
Yes, he is cool.
He's like one of the all-timers, right?
In my mind, he is the all-timer. Okay. But, I mean, everyone would agree. He's like a total legend, no matter who you ask.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The thing about barbed wire is just think about how long that would take to fake that, meaning like you let's say you round off the barbs, right?
Yeah.
Think about how long that would take.
Yeah, unless you use a different material, like plastic or something.
Plastic, like barbed wire plastic?
Yeah, like molded plastic.
That just looks like, yeah, but again, I think that would be too like cost prohibitive or something, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely not spending a lot of money in this industry.
No, not
on these poor guys.
No. Look at Terry Funk.
Okay, so he's entering and he's wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah. So this is Kawasaki. Yeah, sure. This is Kawasaki Stadium, and it's outside Tokyo, but it's an outdoor stadium. So
like,
awesome.
How many people are you think there?
There is, because they sold this, legitimately sold this place out a few times. At this show, there's somewhere between 20 and 30,000. Now, this promotion, it's called FMW, Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling.
We've never seen this in our time?
No, we have not. What's cool about this group, this was considered an independent group. But, I mean, what does that mean for Japan anyway? So, this was a group that was started by this guy at Sushi Onita, and they didn't have any television. They didn't have a television show.
Okay.
To promote their wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
So the way they got popular was through the magazines and the papers. And I mean, they're just a few years into the promotion at this point, and look at this. I mean,
yeah,
that's
sure.
That's pretty incredible.
That's grassroots right there.
Yeah.
Now I'm noting that he's coming out to the song Wild Thing.
Yes. So awesome.
He has a little sheepish grin on his face.
Yeah. Incredible. So, oh, man. So, at Sushi Onita, he's, I mean, again, I wouldn't say the all-timer, but he, in terms of, like, star power and charisma, he's pretty off the charts. Like,
okay.
he knows how to work the people.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like I'm watching a movie, like a Van Damme movie or something.
Yeah, exactly. okay, so sorry. So there's actually reported, which it's probably an overestimate, but reported 41,000 people there.
Okay. Yeah, looks like a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Have you noticed the referee?
Dude, I'm loving him. Yeah. He looks like a futuristic, like, samurai or something. I don't,
yeah.
Like a radioactive suit or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a silver suit with a helmet to protect against the explosions. And a lot of the cameramen and stuff on the outside you'll see are wearing, like, long coats. The cameras are covered in aluminum foil.
Yeah, this guy's a character, the ref.
Yes, he's loving it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So Onita, he's had multiple, I mean, like Terry Funk, actually, he's had multiple, like, retirement ceremonies where he claims he's retiring and then returns, like, a few months later, you know.
That's so cool, dude, shameless.
Yeah. Totally shameless. That's probably the best possible word for him, is shameless.
Is shamelessness, like, a prerequisite for being a great in professional wrestling?
100%.
Right? You have to have full buy-in.
You have to. You have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can... Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
We should note that Onita, he's already bandaged up on the shoulder and the head.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, so we'll just see. I'm not going to tell you, like, the rules or anything. So just as we're watching this unfold, see if you can kind of pick up the thing to do. Or what the rules are for the match. But I really can't say enough about it, Sushi Onita. I mean, he's like, he has really wild matches. There's one where there's a ring in the middle of a pond, like a big pool of water, and so he has to ride a boat out to the ring. Cage matches that are exploding. Yeah, it's just pure charisma. And, like, look at what they're doing.
Yeah,
like they don't want to run into the barbed wire.
Yeah.
So they're struggling, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
At this point, how many times had Terry Funk, like, done this in Japan? Like, at this point in his career? Is he pretty regular there at this point? Or...
Meaning just wrestling in Japan?
Yeah, just, like, wrestling in Japan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he had been wrestling in Japan since the 70s, early 70s.
Okay, because I noticed that his... He wasn't treated like a bad guy when he came in.
No, by this time
there were a fair number of cheers there.
Yeah, I mean he's a legit legend at this point. Beyond a star, he's like an absolute legend.
Yeah. Okay.
And had been that way in Japan for close to. I mean, in terms of, like, a real deal legend, I mean, close to 15 years.
Okay.
Through various retirements and stuff. Oh, dude. You see that?
Okay, so he just exploded on the barbed wire.
Yes.
So that was that little black barb they were pointing to earlier.
Yes, yeah. And you saw the gunpowder on his back.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So we got an injured man here.
They're chanting something, but I can't tell.
Are they maybe chanting for Onita?
That's what it sounded like. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can see the powder. He's bleeding already from a few different places.
You're darn right about that. Now Funk's trying to get him over to the other side.
Yeah.
To explode his head.
Yep. And so one of the great things about Onita is he wears that wife beater, which is such a great visual because it always rips and it always gets bloody it's like that's like a pro, you know, he knows how to work with that thing. A couple music things while we're watching here, I messaged Fred Hammer to see if he had any Annihilation Time CDs. The first.
Oh yeah, you told me that you were getting in touch with him.
Yeah. So I did. He sent me one with a bunch of stickers, of course.
Yes.
But he also sent me the reissue because he reissued the CD.
Look at that. Whoa. He just got charred on that barbed wire. Now he's lying on it in the Christ pose.
Yeah. That is not by accident, by the way. That pose.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. That looks 100% theater right there.
Yeah.
And they're all calling for him to get up, and even he's yelling get up to him.
Yeah. Oh, great. Annihilation Time, the reissue with the big booklet, probably what's in the LP.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of paperwork.
Yes. All the liner notes and everything.
Yeah.
Liner notes by Ben Edge, by the way.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Yes. Vaguely.
Did you read them by any chance?
No.
I mean, it's cool. It's informative, but it's got that classic Ben Edge style where it's like there's an undercurrent of like condescension to the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I forget who it is. He's talking about somebody. I think it's actually Graham. He's talking about. It's like, yeah. I mean, Graham like had a really big problem with anxiety, and he was taking Paxil every day. And I don't know.
Hey, leave that out of this thing.
Yeah, you know. But it's something. A lot of cool pictures and stuff, though.
Yeah, for sure. It's lovingly made. That's for darn sure on that one.
A lot of love went into that.
You better believe that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fred he's sick.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. Always has been. There's he talks about him Ben talks about him yelling like the Nard way, like it shows, you know, how he'll just sit there and yell things.
Yeah.
It's like, he's so good. You see that Terry Funk headbutt?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Too good. Secondly, I bought, first of all, first Annihilation Time record. What a record.
What a record, yeah.
It's cool that you can tell it's from California.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, like, primitive elements to it that make it endearing.
Yeah, and it's cool. Ooh, oh, Terry got one.
Yeah, into the barbed wire.
Yep.
So now we're getting a little more even.
Yeah.
That little Raph guy is such a character.
He's a ham, huh?
It's like spray painted construction hat.
Yeah. I love with that Annihilation Time record. It's cool that it's decidedly like a local record, you know.
Yeah.
But it. Like, that's not one that a ton of people outside the area really would ride for. Not like the second one, you know?
Of course, yeah.
But it's so good. It's a local record that transcends.
Yeah.
And it holds up, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, Ben brings up a good point, or he's got a good description in there, where he says that it's like the guitar from Blast, but the rhythm section from Black Flag.
Yeah.
Because it's the rhythm section is really straightforward and simple, but the riffs are wild.
Yeah.
And that's what Blast misses on.
Big time. Because
it's just too much, you know?
Yeah, for too long.
For too long. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Yeah, good insight. Ooh, by
Terry
Mr.
Funk
Edge.
Just got mad at the ref.
He's
and
swinging.
Now he's bleeding from the head.
He's punch drunk.
Yeah, they're both flip flopping around.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to point out that this was uploaded by Nightlife Sucks. So shout out to him. Everybody subscribe to Nightlife Sucks. Also, he pinned his own comment. Be first, and it says it's come into the comments talking shit on this match. I'll f you up.
Yeah.
So
don't respect. Do it. Yeah. No,
don't do it.
Respect to Knife Light. Nightlife Sucks. You see that? You see that tumble that Onita took there, dude?
Yeah.
Look at his back. You see that big gash?
That's a big gash for sure.
Yeah. That's there. We go. That's like, do you agree that this is real barbed wire now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I shame on me for thinking that they would value the wrestlers' lives and like health.
Yeah, that's on you.
Like that was a faux pas. I'm sorry. I'll never do that again.
That's pretty ignorant, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll never humanize the two people in the ring again.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. That's your first mistake.
Yeah, they're pretty gnarled at this point, and everyone's kind of like anticipating and hoping they'll flop into one of the sides again.
Yeah. So,
Countdown timer has started from 5 minutes.
Uh-oh. What's that mean, I wonder?
I'm a little nervous.
Something that's so cool about this is, I don't know if you're capturing this or not, or if you're getting this, but it's they're wrestling it the match as if there were 41,000 people in this huge stadium.
Does
that make sense?
For sure.
Everything is so big and grandiose, and
definitely
it's fairly slow moving.
Yeah.
And but they're really selling, and like all the movements are so dramatic, and
they're like putting everything into this thing.
Yeah. It's so cool. That's the mark of like a true pro, is when you know how to work to the size of the building you're in, you
know? Definitely.
I love that.
I wonder what it would be like to wrestle to like 40 people.
I mean, I can show you those matches.
Yeah, I don't want to see those.
There's, oh man, there's one. Maybe I should make you watch. Oh man, I don't know. No, but it's cool because when people, I mean, that's also like an indie wrestling type of environment.
Sure, yeah. I shouldn't knock the little guys, but I'm just, it more is like something discomforting about that.
Yeah. Oh man, dang, that makes me, we might have to do, okay, I might have to add another potpourri. Oh boy.
He just kicked Terry Funk in the head, and that threw him back into the barbed wire. And now the sirens are all going off. With 3 minutes left.
3 minutes are left. Oh boy. Yeah, I mean it's the smaller matches when people know how to work them like a small match. Yeah. It's another cool thing. Obviously, I like the big stuff better, but
yeah,
it's like it's just a different skill that, and you can, it kind of exposes how much you understand of it.
True.
I think, like as a wrestler, you know, like
if you're
working to a certain crowd size or not, and I think that's cool.
So I'm confused. He pinned Terry Funk, and the guy said so, but now Terry Funk has put some kind of shoestring around the other guy's neck, and he's choking on him.
No, he kicked out, didn't he? Or did he not?
Well, a bell had the guy counted three, and a bell started.
Oh, that's right. That's
but
right.
I don't know. And the guy started. Someone started saying stuff over the announcer PA.
Well, the match is over, but doesn't matter. No. Terry Funk did not.
Yeah, he put like a shoelace around Onita's neck.
Yeah. He didn't listen, did he?
Yeah, I guess not. Now this awful siren is going off, and they're just going on each other.
Yeah. So this is when it really. The bells ring.
Seems pretty hectic right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It feels a little stressful. And the guy, the ref had to get his little helmet back on.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Nope. There he goes.
Just shoved that little guy out of there to save his life, maybe. I'm sure the ring is going to self-destruct or something.
Yeah. So you hear this, you hear the siren going.
Yeah, this horrible noise.
Yeah. Which is like this is when this is pure professional wrestling to me. When it's like take a look at this environment. It's this huge stadium. There's this shrill horn going off. You don't understand. Like imagine walking into this.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like what?
There's especially in Japan, it sounds like an air raid horn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like so, like again, it's like shameless.
Yeah, so Terry Funk's just laying in there. Onita, look at
he's trying to
wake
get
him
out of there.
Yeah,
get out of there! Get out of there! Dude, he's ripping. He's like pulling him by the hair, and now they're exploding.
So he just decided to cover him, try to cover him and save him.
Dude, that was cool.
Ugh.
Dude, what's going on? This is so insane. Oh, this is just like a movie.
Yeah. Isn't it incredible? And it's this riff, just this solo,
yeah,
just tears in.
Exactly.
Covered in blood, both of them.
Dude.
And now he's trying to help Terry.
Dude, it's so cool.
Yeah. Look at that. Trying to help Terry to the back now. Dude, and that's... Onita.
Dude, everyone's going off.
Yes, standing ovation.
Yeah, his wife beater is like pink now and looks disgusting.
Yeah. No, he's going to talk. He's going to talk into the mic now.
He's crying.
Of course. That's another classic, is him crying. He always cries.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And the people love him.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you? I mean, I do.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Like, imagine, like, look at him. Like, barbed wire wrapped around his neck. Everybody just losing it.
Dude, and now the wild thing kicks back in. And they depart as brothers.
Yeah. unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And then he just passed out on the ground, on the mat, out.
Again, another classic. Another classic technique.
He's given his all.
Yeah. For the people.
Yeah.
I buy in 100% with that guy. There's a match, another barbed wire exploding match that he has in the Tokyo Dome in a different promotion in New Japan Pro Wrestling a few years later. But he comes out, he kind of goes through this transformation after his next retirement where he cuts his hair and he starts smoking and wearing a leather jacket.
Whoa.
And so he comes out for this match in the Tokyo Dome. And that's like, you know, that's the Tokyo Dome, a very famous place, 65,000 people or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he comes out with a chair. And Wild Thing is blaring. He sits down on the entrance ramp. He unfolds the chair, sits down, and pulls out a cigarette and starts and lights it and starts smoking.
Cool.
It
looks like he just got dissed in this like little locker room meetup.
Yeah.
And he was crying.
Yeah.
Because Terry Funk said, "Thanks for saving my life, but next time we do it by my rules," or something.
That's
like that.
Right.
Like, "I don't accept this match," or whatever.
That's right. And he's despondent now.
He wouldn't shake his hand.
Yeah. Well, look at him. He's despondent. All right.
What a character.
He's too much. So we'll kind of fade this one out from here. So, I mean, really quickly, your thoughts on this match.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It was for it being a no rope barbed wire exploding ring time bomb death match. It moved kind of slow.
Yeah.
But I guess, like you said, that was kind of the point. They made it like really built up and like sketchy.
Yeah.
And they looked really gnarly by the end. So I guess what do you want?
Yeah, I mean that's the point. And that's what the guy like. Will build. He has this dramatic plays where he's building up.
Yeah.
To these big moments in the match, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So that's his style. Ugh. I love that match so much, man.
Yeah, you've probably seen that one a handful.
Yeah, I still forget. I have such a bad memory with stuff, though. You know. I mean, you know better than anybody.
Yeah.
It's a mess. All right. You ready for the? Have you recovered emotionally enough for this next match?
I'm just like staring at this paused still of him, and he looks so sad and like just.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to look away, but it's so horrible.
I mean, he's captured your imagination.
Yeah, I gotta give him that.
Legitimately, right?
Yeah, I gotta give him that. Yeah. Okay, I'm punching out of him. I'm on to my WWE. I recently got into a login for the WWE network.
Of course.
Yeah, it's only $500 a year, but I get all the premium access.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I get to watch Loch Ness and Lord Steven Regal. You know.
all your favorites.
Yeah. Okay, what are we doing now?
All right. So this next match, this is from WCW Uncensored 1996. This is the Doomsday Cage match. And this is Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage. Now, we have not watched these guys before on this show, correct?
Right.
No, we have watched Randy Savage.
We saw Randy Savage. We haven't seen Hulk.
Yeah. But you know who both of these people are.
Yes.
Yeah. And they are facing Ric Flair and Arn Anderson and the Dungeon of Doom, which consists of, honestly, I can't even remember who all is in the Dungeon of Doom at this point. Kevin Sullivan is the leader of the Dungeon of Doom. I don't even remember who else is in this match. We'll just have to see.
It's new to you too.
Yeah. So this is the Doomsday Cage match. Now let's go in. And I'm going to pause it. Now we're going to start this match at, so it's paused at 2 hours, 8 minutes and 2 seconds.
That's where I am.
All right. So let's do a countdown, and you're going to want to listen because they're going to explain the rules. The rules are very important in this. Okay.
Okay.
So the rules come in a few seconds. I think it's like at 25 seconds. But we're going to start it again. 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 2 seconds. 3, 2, 1, play. And so we've got Bobby Heenan, Tony Schiavone, and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, are your announcers here.
Okay.
And Bobby's talking about this being like Alcatraz, right?
Yeah.
And you described Tony Schiavone as looking like your cousin Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. Hmm.
Okay, now did I talk over the rules?
No. No, yeah. They've got a Hulk and Macho Man have to pin every guy through that whole cabal of guys, but if they get pinned just once, they're done, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So they have to start at the top of the cage and work their way down, pinning the people to move on.
Got it. I would have loved if everyone was in the right place in their lives mentally. I would have loved to have taken Bobby on some kind of tour.
Yeah.
Like he would have been awesome because, like, you know how on tour you kind of distill your essence, like.
Yes.
And usually for the better, like other stuff falls away. And I think in his case, it'd be like, he would just be like, I think he'd just be a big road dog.
Oh, totally.
Like, he'd be lifting all the amps and, like, be all stoked and, like...
Yes.
He'd just have a ton of energy and... It'd be... Yeah. He'd be having a blast, you know?
Yeah. He'd be awesome. He'd do merch really well.
Yeah.
He'd take it seriously. Like, he'd drive, yeah.
Yeah, and he would, like, disarm, like, tension.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know. He would just be a great, like, foil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this is the Ready to Rumble guy, right?
Correct. Truly one of my least favorite celebrities ever.
He's made a lot of money, right?
He has made a lot of money.
Does he own that phrase in some way?
Like, yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's... I mean, I find him annoying, but I don't know.
He's awful. He's real sleazy.
Seems like it. It seems like he just walked out of a Vegas strip club.
I was going to say, man, that guy's dripping with Vegas, isn't he? Which yeah. actually, that makes him cool in my book.
I was
going to
say, that,
so.
That lifts him up to you.
Yeah. So he would do the WCW. He would do, for years and years, he would do like the main events and stuff and announce them. He would always get stuff wrong. It never seemed like you could tell he was totally phoning it in. It was just like, and just making so much money per appearance.
Dude, I'll bet.
I mean, legitimately, I don't even know how much, at least $50,000, I think.
So
I
mean,
I think it's out there how much he was making per appearance, but yeah, just an obscene amount of money. So do you see this setup here?
Yeah, it looks really sleazy and weird.
Yes. Yes.
And so I get the feel. Oh, go ahead. I recognize these guys. That was Ric Flair, right? The first guy.
Correct.
And then I've seen this guy before, but I don't remember his name.
The guy, the big guy with the blonde guy?
The big guy, yeah.
That is the total package, Lex Luger.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. And that is truly one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
He looks like a toy, like a toy. He looks like an action figure.
A boy toy.
Like, I mean, I don't mean that in like a derogatory way. He just looks like an action figure.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Okay, so this thing. Do you see how it's not in the middle of the arena?
I noted that, and then I just get a real uneasiness to its structural integrity.
Certainly.
Like a carnival ride, you know, like.
Yes.
Like they just got it past all the permitting barely. Like someone inspected it, but it's like. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look right.
Yeah. Yeah. It does not look good. It's in the corner of the arena. It's I mean that's like a good shot right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a bunch of they have to have a bunch of scaffolding.
Yeah.
So there can be so they can film the event.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The scaffolding Again, I assume for they probably had to have that for like safety reasons or something too.
Seriously.
But again,
I mean, this would have really, ironically, I mean, this is like out of its time because I think if you did this now, you with all the kind of micro cameras they have, high def, like I mean, it could look really cool.
Well, dude. Yeah, if you did, I mean, you could have cameras like in the corners of the,
like
kind of in
corner.
The upper corners of the cage, and you could have drone cameras flying
exactly,
around.
Exactly, exactly.
And it would look really awesome.
Dude, yes. He's furious. Hulk is coming out and he's furious.
Yeah.
At this point in his career, Hulk, when does Hulk like have a black beard or whatever? He's like evil.
So that comes later this year when he turns heel. He becomes a bad guy, and he joins.
Am I the heel of this show?
Yeah, absolutely, you are.
Like I'm the heel.
Yes, you are. I mean, you Justin says you're a heel in real life.
Yeah, like I'm just a heel.
Yes.
But can people like heels?
Yeah, of course. I mean that's a large portion of the wrestling population. So yeah, so he joins Hulk Hogan joins the New World Order, the NWO.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and he becomes a bad guy.
Did everyone like that?
I mean, they hated him, but the NWO was like a cool bad boy thing to like.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was little, I hated the NWO.
Huh.
Because they would make fun of like Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen.
Right.
And I like WCW, and I liked WCW. So the action has started here. We're in the top tier. So the first tier is Arn Anderson and Ric Flair.
Yeah, who's that loser looking guy that Hulk's pounding on?
That's
a sweatsuit.
That's Arn Anderson.
He just looks like a dad on unemployment.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean, he's usually really awesome, but this is not a good look for him.
Yeah.
He's like in his mid-30s right there.
That's
Arn
crazy
Anderson.
To me. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of those guys that he looked middle-aged when he was like 24.
Yeah, that's always fascinating when that happens.
It's a double-edged sword.
It really is. Yeah.
Because you just don't age. You age.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Between 15 and 25, and then you stop.
Yeah, it's like a gift to, you know, I guess like someone in this profession or like an actor or whatever, because then everyone knows like how to work with you, you know, because you're just.
Yeah. And it's weird how that's a type of person.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. I mean, like Lemmy is one of those guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's just kind of has always looked the same.
Yeah, it's just I like it. I like the style.
Me too. Yeah, I'm jealous of it. I'm you know, I wish I was bald.
That's the most Drew quote ever. Yeah, you do. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm sorry you don't have severe, like, male pattern baldness.
Yeah, me too. But that's like, I can't win with my body. I mean, that's been long established, but like, I want like really gnarly male pattern baldness and just grow out the Julius Caesar part.
You want the Julius. Dude, Hulk just ripped his shirt.
Yeah.
And he's going now.
Yeah. So we've been having, trouble. So we're just kind of seeing all four men just kind of brawl around the cage gingerly. The structure
said,
is bending.
Yeah, and the filming is really jarring.
Yes.
I mean, it kind of, in a surrealistic way, it probably enhances like the vibe that they want. Because it feels like I'm like looking at a weird, it's like a prison guard's like fever dream. You know what I mean? It's really bizarre. It's like there's a weird sexual attention to it, and the green lights, and it's shaky, and you can't really tell what's going on.
Yeah.
Colorful. Yeah. I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's all unintentional, but they are capturing something there.
I mean, it's like you're not seeing anything like this on Saturday night or whenever this thing came out.
No.
This is truly unique.
A prison guard's fever dream. I'm not going to remember that by the time this is all said and done, but what a line.
I mean, it's look, I'll give wrestling this. There's something about the matches we've watched, especially these weird gimmicky like death matches, where it's like someone gets to implement their childish dream, but like they have a lot of money and like in a national audience.
Yes.
And you don't really get to see that a lot.
No.
You know, that usually doesn't get, like, greenlit, you know? Like, that doesn't make it past, like, you know what I mean?
If someone usually puts a stop to it.
Yeah, because it's like, this is so insane what we're looking at, in a way.
Yeah.
And the structure, someone, like, drew that out, you know? Like, on a napkin at first, probably. Like, no, this is what they'll do, you know? Like, but it made it. Like, it became real.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty unique, and I give that to wrestling. I think that's pretty interesting. You do not see that in a lot of entertainment.
No. I think that's one of the hurdles that wrestling has to overcome, which is it's so ridiculous and absurd.
Yeah.
That it can't be taken seriously unless you buy in.
Right. Exactly. That's the paradox.
But that's also the genius of when a promotion or a match or an announcer or something, when they take it deadly serious, and it's this. Okay, remember the match that we watched?
What just happened just there? He slipped like a flare.
Yes, it was like a foreign object, like a sharp stabbing tool down the cage.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so remember the match we watched where it was so Hogan had some white powder. And he's blinding Flair and Arn. And they're opening a hatch and they're going down to the next level now.
So do they not do, but they're supposed to pin those guys.
Correct. They're supposed to pin them.
Okay.
And they did not. Remember the match we watched, the one that we've both liked the most. Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard. I quit in the cage.
Absolutely.
An unbelievable, completely outlandish premise, right?
Right.
But it's treated as if it were the most serious thing in the world and a legitimate sporting contest.
Absolutely.
That's the genius of it.
Yeah, that's what makes it special.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, that's also what hurts it in terms of having any kind of mainstream acceptance.
Yeah, I mean, so at this point, you're really just trying to group together enough of the faithful, because once you do get the buy-in, then they're in the world, and they're in your little world forever.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's also, there's probably, I think there's an element of, because, okay, I don't like to use this cliche, but in Japan, it's treated more seriously.
Yeah.
Which I hate. Are you talking when people about the band user? Yeah. God. Very good. Oh man. But I'm just using that as an example. I mean, it's the same in Europe actually too, in like Germany, for instance. But I think there's something with, like, Americans get so bristly and personal and possessive over sports, mm-hmm. that I think the idea of someone lying about sports, I think there's like a cultural discomfort with that in America.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's very possible.
So what we have here on this second level is it's a two-part cage, right?
Yeah.
There's a door in the middle of the big cage, and Macho Man and Hulk are locked in one side with Lex Luger and Kevin Sullivan. Ming and the Barbarian are on the other side. They've been locked out.
That split screen was really hard to follow.
Yes.
When they were just showing them each in a different side of that room.
Very hard.
It lost me for a bit there, to be honest.
Yes. Yes. Me too. And now they're outside of the cage on the scaffolding.
So who's this Kevin other guy that Sullivan looks like Hulk? Like a little Hulk.
So that's Kevin Sullivan. One of my top three least favorite wrestlers ever.
He looks like a weird, lazier, like smaller Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he looks like a Gollum, like a Hulk Gollum.
Yeah, he does. He looks like Hulk's Gollum. Yeah, that's cool.
He's very small. He has a really, really heavy Boston accent.
Yeah, he's like the anti-Hulk. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. He's a mess. I don't like him. Okay, so look at this now. Look at this split screen. On one side, it's Kevin Sullivan and Hulk Hogan tied up on scaffolding. The other one is a wide shot of Randy Savage and Lex Luger kind of brawling around in half of the cage while Arn Anderson is trying to open the locked part but can't.
Yeah. And him and all his cohorts are trying to get through.
Yeah. Hey, I meant to tell you, I got that that Frank Zappa Halloween thing in the mail.
Oh yeah, how do you like it?
It's pretty impressive. It's all six. It's from 1977, like the Halloween residency. It's all six shows. It's like 15 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, you know, it's on the stick. On the USB stick.
Oh, right. So are you able to just play it into your car?
You are.
Using modern technology?
Yeah, so it's in WAV. It's as WAV files right now. Like it comes as, you know, WAV files, of course. You have to convert it to the stupid car. The Toyotas don't play WAV files.
Oh.
So you have to convert it to like MP3 or AAC files.
Got it.
But once you do that, then you can just plug it in and play it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's not bad. It's, I'll take that. 15 hours though. I mean, you know, I wish it were CDs probably still, but like that's a lot of stuff that you get.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that you're not going to be happy with when it comes to Frank Zappa?
No.
You're pretty much going to be pleased.
I'm kind of all in.
Yeah, you've sold your soul at this point.
Yeah, I buy into everything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we've kind of missed a lot here. Yeah, everyone's out of the cage at this point. There was a sequence where Kevin Sullivan and Hulk were in the ring. They're kind of brawling around. I mean, imagine being in the crowd for this. You couldn't see anything.
I was going to ask you, is there a Jumbotron or something?
No.
So you're kind of bummed if you're in the crowd.
You are bummed if you're in the crowd,
like,
yes.
Unless you're right there. It's like you can't – they're down in that pocket right there. They can't see anything.
Yes. Yeah, and this was an issue with WCW for several years in different capacities.
Hmm.
So we're just – there's everyone's just kind of brawling around. A lot of confusion right now. You know, I was going to say something else and I forgot. Oh, so this is in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Oh.
Home of Elvis. I've spent a lot of time in Tupelo, actually.
I was going to say, I bet you have some weird story about Tupelo, Mississippi.
Well, it's close to where my grandparents lived, Baldwin, Mississippi.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, there you go. A decent outlet mall.
Huh.
Yeah. Not great, but decent.
Hulk just loves the crowd.
He loves the crowd.
And that's what made him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's so good to the crowd. Like,
that's the whole thing. I mean,
I know it's really pedestrian. I don't like wrestling like that, but he makes me feel like good. Like, he's performing for me.
Yes. I mean, you just hit on the reason why he is the most famous professional wrestler ever.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to, like, watch him, you know, because a lot of these guys are really good at kind of engaging the audience a little bit here and, you know, but, like, yeah. He's, like, sacrificing some art to, like, bring me here.
Yeah, I mean, you as soon as he walked out, you said, yes, there's Hulk, and he's mad.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is him past his prime in every way. He's in a smaller company. At this point, a lot of the fans had kind of turned on him.
Right.
Like, he was getting a lot of boos and stuff. I don't know. I don't remember how much of that was on this match. But, he's still got it, though. Definitely. Like, he captured you for a moment.
Definitely, yeah.
And the fact that you said that he sacrifices art in order to do that, I mean, that's also a pretty dead on. I'm pretty impressed that you were able to pick up on that because you can tell it's like this is. I mean, he's very lowbrow.
He's exactly, yeah, for sure.
But it doesn't matter because he got you.
Yeah, he brings you in.
Yeah. And so you're just whatever he's doing, you're all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like when they do the private stuff.
Is that because you think it hurts them?
Yes. That looks so horrible.
You think about your own privates being hurt.
Yeah, I don't want someone to put Macho Man Randy Savage, split him across that guardrail like that. Anybody.
So at this point, it's turned into essentially just a tag team match, right?
Yeah, seems like exactly. And it just seems kind of like a drunken brawl.
Yeah, they've left the ring or the cages. They're just kind of brawling in the ring and around the ring. And there's two men coming out now.
What the heck is this?
Now, Jordan, I want to tell you something.
That's not Debo.
What?
Who are these two? Who are these guys?
Well, so do you know the Tiny Lister?
Debo from Friday, right?
Yes. Debo from Friday. Is that him? That's him.
I didn't know if I was being racist because I was like, dude, that looks just like Debo.
You are being racist, but that is him.
You're right. But in addition, I happen to be right.
Yeah.
Then who's this really grizzly white guy?
So, Jordan, let me tell you, he debuted on the TV show the week prior under the name The Final Solution.
No.
Yes.
No. I have no adequate response to that.
Now, they got several complaints regarding that. Primarily from Jewish organizations. Now, do you know why that would be, Jordan?
Yeah, watchdog organizations around the world perked up at that.
Yes. So, Simon Wiesenthal Foundation, you know, the Shoah Foundation. Right. You know, those kind of things. Southern Poverty Law Center, you know. Right. Yes, so he debuted as the Final Solution, and his name was quickly changed.
And so what is it at this point?
I believe it's the Ultimate Solution, which is really not much better.
That's such an antagonistic change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So childish.
Very childish. But really, just as many, they should receive just as many complaints about something called the ultimate solution.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. Everyone would be in their their right mind to complain about that. But no, it was in fact the ultimate, the final solution.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And the gangster.
Yeah, the gangster. So this is their only appearances. I mean, they don't wrestle
like
after
as
this.
As wrestlers?
Yes.
Huh.
And it's not really explained one way or another. I mean, they're supposed to be part of the Dungeon of Doom, and they're kind of secret weapons, you know, but they've Jeff's now kind of appeared, and it wasn't explained why they didn't appear earlier. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. And then you see that old Tiny Lister.
Oh, yes.
He's choking the Hulk, the Hulkster.
If either Macho Man or Hulk get pinned, they lose, or do they both have to get pinned?
No, if either one.
Okay.
Yeah, either one. So again, this has been going on for some time now. And they're back in the cage, but they're on the ring part of the cage now.
At the lowest level, right?
At the lowest level, right. Are you into Elvis at all?
Yeah, I like Elvis.
Do you listen to the later stuff at all?
No. I mean, I don't really like... It's weird. We've talked about this before, but he's so deserving of, like, a catalog study by someone like me.
Yeah.
But I just... I haven't really listened to a lot of his music. You know what I mean? Like,
well, dude, it's very intimidating, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing, but it's also like so much to do was made about like him not really being much of a songwriter or like actual player.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it kind of kills it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so cool, but
yeah,
I don't know. It kind of keeps me a little at bay, but I'll get there.
Yeah.
There's time for Elvis. Who is this? Who was that?
Jimmy Hart.
Like Owen Hart? Do they have any
different? No. But just Jimmy Hart. He's aligned at this point with the Dungeon of Doom.
Okay. Previously, yeah, he's very happy.
Yeah, previously he was aligned with Hulk Hogan, but turned on him. Yeah. Jimmy Hart, in his younger years, he was in Memphis. I mean, speaking of Elvis, he was in the Memphis territory in the early 80s. And like, incredible manager, a bad guy manager.
But
it was so good and so funny. Man.
Yeah, you can tell he's got a little bit of a character to him.
Yeah, a legit musician too.
Seriously?
Yeah. He's in a band called the Gentries.
Dude, more of that powder.
Yeah, more of the powder. Hulk has a frying pan.
More people are in the ring now.
Yeah, two frying pans. So Flair and Arn, they got out of the locked cage. And everyone's just getting hit with frying pans here.
That white guy is pretty scary looking. Why did he do that name?
So that was chosen for him.
He's like huge, but he's also like really muscular.
Yeah. He's big.
He's pretty scary looking.
Yeah.
They should not have done that.
No. No. And, I mean, he is bald and white. So.
Yeah, and he's wearing those white camo, the gray
the
and
white camo.
It's just, I don't know, man.
It's a bad scene all the way around.
It's a bad scene. Dude, a weighted glove.
Yeah. Here we go. Lex Luger. Whoop. Oh boy.
Dude. How he stutter stepped and then just did it.
Yeah. So they're escaping now. Oh. But gotta pin them. Match is over.
Was that the last guy that they needed to pin? Because they had to pin all of them, right?
That was the only person they pinned.
Huh.
No one else was pinned.
How often have Macho Man and Hulk fought each other? Like a lot? Did their paths
No. So they fought. Their big match was WrestleMania 5. The Mega Powers explode. They were in a tag team called the Mega Powers, and then they turned on each other and had a match.
Oh, okay.
And then they fought in WCW again. But all things considered, not very often. So that's the match. What did you think of that match?
It was pretty bizarre, like for the reasons I said, and it was very disorienting.
Yeah.
And if you weren't there to walk through some of those elements, I mean, I know they were announcing, but like it was not very clear.
Right.
It was like kind of sketchy, but no, it was entertaining.
So Jordan, I consider that to be the worst wrestling match in the history of the sport.
I mean, I can see why.
Yeah. I
mean, like the, especially the last like 10 minutes, it was like everyone was phoning it in.
Yes.
Just be, you know, I don't know why, but I mean.
No one was trying.
Yeah. And then right when you said these guys never wrestled again, I was really started to try to focus on them.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have any real charisma or anything.
No.
It was really kind of bumbling.
Yes.
You know, and like just, I don't know, just kind of comical.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think.
Sorry, hold on. The credits are awesome.
Yeah.
It's just everyone's first name. Electronic Graphics, Bill. Video, Ron. This is great. Wow, that's wonderful. You wouldn't see that anywhere else.
No.
I'm serious. You're not going to see Security Director, Doug. I don't know. That's really bizarre.
Yeah, so this, I think not, like, they didn't adhere to the rules of the match or the stipulation,
right.
You know?
Yeah, because were they not supposed to pin everyone on the bad guys?
They were supposed to stay in the cage. They were supposed to pin each person in the match and then move down the cage after pinning each person.
Yeah, it got kind of out of hand pretty early.
Yeah, and I figure, I'm going to turn this off now. I mean, fair enough to them. They probably were up there and just figured, like, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not going to go by the rules.
Absolutely. That was, like, the feeling I got.
Yeah, like, we're just going to do this and it's fine. None of it matters anyways.
Dude, absolutely.
It just, the whole thing, I think the planning and the rules of it got out of hand. The construction of it got out of hand.
Totally.
They had to just put it in the corner.
Dude.
with these like big scaffolding. It was poorly lit, and I don't even necessarily blame anyone involved in the match for not like doing well or trying or adhering to the rules. It just that's just what happened. Because if I were in there, that situation, I wouldn't have followed the rules either.
Yeah, it was pretty like. Like we said, I feel like especially the older guys, which had most of those guys. I mean, I was at least familiar with, so they've been around for a while, right?
Yeah.
So they probably could read that, like, okay, no one can really see this, and it's not really easy to do anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you noticed, they were up in that first cage wrestling for a long time, just kind of going back and forth and trying to wrestle each other for several minutes.
Yeah.
So it just all of that put together, and it's like none of it's even very good or compelling. Yeah. And it's not like it's like hard hitting or, you know, the only thing it has going for it is the bizarre visual element. But
yeah, and at home you could see that a little easier. You wouldn't be able to tell at all what was going on if you're in the audience.
No way.
When
no
they
way.
Showed it from far away, I was like, man, these poor people that paid the money to be there.
I know. But but it also just like compare that to the Onita match where it just has this totally out there, like, what is happening here? It's a different kind of what is happening here. And that definitely. Like that someone would walk into the Onita match and that, you know, see you watching it and just be confused and like intrigued and like grossed out. But someone walks in to see you watching the Doomsday Cage and it's like embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right?
But there is a really weird, surreal element to that cage match, I'm telling you.
No,
I'm like,
it's
like I said,
like
you're
not a
you're
good
not
surreal
any,
though.
You're not gonna see anything even close to that flipping through the channels.
Did you ever watch Punky Brewster?
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where
it
they're
scared
like
scared the crap out of me? Are you talking about the scary episode?
The scary episode in the cave.
The cave, Drew. The cave. That episode really, really, really scared me.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't scare me. Like what? A lot of and you know what? Hazel has this too, where it didn't. It scared me, but I wanted to keep watching and like learn about it.
Yeah.
And like was kind of like obsessed with it.
Yeah,
that's...
I mean, man, yeah. But anyway, go on. I know you're connecting this.
Yes, that's what it reminds me of. Because there's similar lighting, there's similar darkness, there's similar like confusion, and there is that surreal element of trying to make like create a different world within a sitcom with that soft lighting and everything.
Yeah, that's
is that
true.
Is
that's
that
true.
Fair enough?
Yeah,
can,
definitely.
Can you get there?
Definitely, yeah.
So I don't remember. Is it a boy gets sucked into the cave?
I honestly don't really remember, but yeah, somebody like goes missing.
Yeah.
And their head appears in the wall at one point.
Yeah.
And it's super disturbing for a little guy.
And there's a presence in the cave.
There's like
right?
a presence in the cave. Yeah, these stories did that. This weird. They all have this weird episode with like a demonic presence.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever see the Care Bears?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember the movie or it was a special or something? And it's like
yeah.
the head comes out of that book.
Yes, I do.
it's this presence, right? It's like this,
yeah,
this evil, like, supernatural.
Yeah,
it's just so disturbing. And
they have to climb that mountain, right?
Yeah, and again, that is really, I think that the out of element aspect is what would probably, you know, jarred my psyche.
Yeah,
you know, because you're expecting the Care Bears, right? You're expecting,
right,
really kind of innocent.
Yeah. Well, okay. Did you ever see the My Little Pony movie? Did your sisters ever watch that?
I don't think so. I can't remember. If they did, they weren't, like, big into it.
Okay. Because, I mean, again, that's the same thing. There's, like, an evil, like, witch thing.
Yeah.
In that. But that's also the 80s, and that's also Satanic Panic stuff.
Yeah, but I think the TV shows, like, played on that.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's like, I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, that's pretty twisted.
It is twisted, yeah, certainly. Jeez. Well, all right. Let's get out of here. Jordan, any plugs for you?
No. No, thank you.
No? How much did you buy your house for?
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't ask me any uncomfortable personal questions this time, but there you go.
Don't worry.
Yep. Yeah, there's time.
Oh. Yeah, no plugs?
No, what about you?
Well, hey, I want to plug the Place to Be Nation pop feed and the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. Tons of good shows on both feeds. Check them all out. Head over to facebook.com/GWCW matches. For the greatest WCW wrestling match of all time. Year-long stretch project. Create your list. Top 100. You rank them. Lots of good discussion at the Facebook group. I also want to plug, I was on a podcast with Matt Souza on his show, Piece of the Action. And we did a live watch of Commando, Jordan.
Dude, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comey Star.
Dude, Comey Star.
Comey Star.
So good.
The best. So yeah. That's for the folks at home, you can find that on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. Again, tons of great stuff on both feeds. Please listen to all of them. Jordan, this was fun, and we'll be back soon with another episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
All right, thank you.